Welcome to the Storyline Podcast, where we are talking to global leaders about God's global mission. Hello, and welcome to the Storyline Podcast. I'm really glad that you joined us today. We've got a great episode for you. My name is Kirby Holmes, and I'm going to be interviewing Austin Gillis today. And we're going to be following up on our last podcast where we talked about becoming a world Christian. You see, to really make practical people joining God in his mission around the world, we came up with five simple ways that every Christian can be engaged in God's global mission. Five really practical behaviors or habits that you can begin to live out to know for sure that you're participating in God's global mission. So it's going to be a great conversation. I'm really glad you're listening in with us. And by the end of this, I believe you're going to see how you can significantly contribute to being a part of God's mission. It might not even include getting medical shots or a plane ticket or traveling somewhere to a different hemisphere. There are things you can do right where you live to significantly play a role in God's mission around the world. So let's get started. Hey, Austin, good to be with you again today.
Yeah, man. Good to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Well, we're kicking off this podcast. We're going to continue the conversation we started with the world Christian. So I just want to ask you, I mean, what does the life of a world Christian look like?
I think a lot of it is actually laid out in the Bible, right? We see from start to finish just what God is calling us to be as Christians, what in the New Testament, what a life of a Christ follower should look like. To put it simply, I think being a world Christian is the Christian life, and this is really God's purpose for all people. So as we look through Scripture and as we look at God's purpose for our lives, for his people, the next obvious question is, okay, we know what to do, but now are people doing it? And that's where we talked about a couple episodes ago, just God's people and the missionaries that went before us and the kind of path that they laid and the practices that they put in place. And they all center around this same idea that we see in the Bible of God calling us to partner with him in his redemptive plan for the nations. So I think being a world Christian means just being a Christian. I think that's what we're called to be when we look through the Scriptures.
Yeah, there definitely becomes a global dimension to our life after we kind of work through what does God's intentions for me look like? And after we kind of get some of that figured out about me, as I grow, we become like God. We become like Jesus. Yeah. And they had this definite global dimension to who they were, and we're becoming like them. So we begin to take that on as somebody who follows Christ. So what does it begin to look like as a world Christian acts out of their convictions of wanting to fulfill the Great Commission?
Well, I think it's one thing to know something, right? It's one thing to know it's true, but it's entirely different to actually believe it enough to put into action. The example that comes to mind is like skydiving. Like I can sit here in front of you and say, oh, I know the parachute will open. I know I'll be fine. I have no problem with that. But if I don't actually ever jump out of the plane with the parachute, do I actually believe it's going to open? And it's the same thing with our faith. Like, it's one thing to know all of these practices of a world Christian laid out in the Bible, but it's another thing to believe it enough to actually put it into practice. Mm. And
yeah, so
I think really these practices of a world Christian can be laid out in five easy just behaviors that we see a lot, and they're evident a lot, and they're natural, really, when we become world Christians. The first is the behavior of a goer. This is the most natural response to hearing God's heart for the nations. And this is someone who goes on short or long-term missionaries, or they just work cross-culturally. Someone who just sees heart for reconciling the nations and wants to be a part of that. The next is really just a sender. This person tremendously realizes that they have resources available to them that can be effective in fulfilling the Great Commission. A lot of times we see this in financial resources, but it's much more than that. It can be time resources. It can be logistical resources. A great example is a man built this business up here in the Austin area, and as he became, as he amassed more and more wealth, he eventually had a small plane. And he said, you know what, I think this could be better better used to fulfill the Great Commission. So he donated it to a ministry organization in Haiti so that they could use it to fly around to different communities and share the gospel there. So a sender is often looked at as just a piggy bank, but it's much more than that. They pose a same amount of strategicness in their gifting. Mm-hmm. Next is we have a welcomer. This is something that everybody can do, especially right here in the United States, because we see more and more often, taking politics even out of it, we have the nations coming to us. I mentioned in another episode that my neighbor is from Nepal. Another neighbor across the street is from Mexico. So whether or not we engage cross-culturally, maybe across oceans or across borders, we can engage culturally or cross-culturally right across the street sometimes, or often across town. We have, the nations have come to us. So that's one that I think that a lot of people can partake in, especially strategically here in the United States. The fourth practice is that of a prayer, and this one is often the most overlooked, but one of the most important ones. We see this in the Bible when Jesus says, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may raise up workers." He doesn't say specifically in that passage, "Go out right now, you go out and do all the work." No, he says, start by just praying to the Lord of the harvest and he will raise up workers. I think we as world Christians should be that of prayers, and we should pray to the Lord of the harvest every day. God, you raise up workers. You raise up the laborers that are going to go out into the fields and reap the harvest. With this too, I think we should pray for the unreached people groups. This is something that I've put into practice with my wife, where we pray for unreached people groups around the world, and we say, God, I know you are pursuing them right now. Put people in their place, put resources in their place so that they may come to know you and reach out for you and seek you. Mm-hmm. Finally, we have a mobilizer. This is someone who realizes that their most strategic action is to raise up all other four people in their church, in their community. They say, yes, I can be an incredible goer. I can be an incredible prayer, but if I raise up 10 other people to do that, I've become most effective. I have multiplied myself in a huge way. We see a lot of mobilization in the early church when you just have this rapid expanse and rapid growth over and over, where one Christian multiplies himself into 10 who multiply themselves into 10. It's that pattern where we saw the greatest growth in the global church of all time. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what we at Storyline, we're trying to do, is mobilize church leaders and pastors and people who desire to be world Christians, mobilize them into more and more around the world.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating that when you talk about God's mission in the world or the Great Commission, it seems like the only thing people think you can do is to be somebody who goes as a missionary to some place, to go as a short-term or long-term missionary. And so oftentimes it feels like people go, oh, well, God's mission, yeah, no, that's for other people. That's not for me. You know, that's for the professional Christian or the pastor to do, but not for me. And so it sounds like what you're saying, though, is you have all these other roles, or so many more people can really participate in God's mission through these roles or behaviors of being a world Christian.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's almost even like a reflex, right? We hear about God's heart for the nations, and our reflex oftentimes is, hey, maybe I should go. Or our reflex is, okay, I have extra resources. Maybe I can be a part of that. Or just any of the practices. It quickly becomes a reflex that we have to work with, and we have to be obedient to.
Yeah, I was recently listening to a woman who was going through some of our Storyline study material, and she said, as a mother who has two young children, and she's gone on a short-term mission project, but she says, it was so refreshing for me to hear that I could fulfill this role of a mobilizer. I serve in the youth department at my local church, and it's so great to be able to tell the stories to youth about the opportunities that they have to serve on teams and to be a part of what God's doing around the world. And she said, you know, right now, I don't feel like I have to be a goer. I don't have to be the one, but I can mobilize youth to be a part of the mission of God. And she really resonated with that idea of participating with God, not being as a goer.
Yeah.
But so tell me about you, though. I mean, how have you seen some of these practices show up in your life?
So like the woman you were just talking about, we all may have different practices at different times. We may have one dominant one that is, that's just us. Like, this may show up in that long-term missionary who's living in Costa Rica right now full-time, but at different times and different seasons, we may have different ones show up. And that's actually exactly my story. I started out by just being a goer. My very first trip, I went to Russia, and that's where I experienced God's heart for the nations. And then from that time, I quickly entered in and out of different practices at different points. My wife and I currently support missionaries around the world to help them fulfill God's calling in their country through our resources. At different times, I've been a prayer. That's the one that I try to always be a part of, because I think that that is the most important one. So whether or not I'm moving in and out of other ones, I try to always at least be praying for the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers and for those unreached people groups. My very first job in ministry was working with the refugee community here in Austin. And this was a season of my life where I really saw God working in me as a welcomer. And I got to see these people come from war-torn countries, some of them even having bullet wounds that they still had to see the doctor for. And just knowing that I can welcome them here and with the good news and the love of Jesus just was refreshing. It was refreshing to know that God brought the nations to me so that I could show them his love and passion for them. And finally, the last practice of a mobilizer, that's where I feel God has strategically placed me right now in my life to raise up other workers, to raise up other senders, prayers, welcomers, and goers, and to really just express my passion and my joy and my heart for the nations and share that with them and with leaders.
Well, what advice would you give to someone who is trying to become a world Christian and they just need some next steps?
The best way to start is just to pray. Pray to God that He will raise up workers and pray for unreached people groups. This has become so simple. Easy enough is just downloading an app. Like, there's an app for that, right? It's joshuaproject.net. I use it, and it has an unreached people group every day pop up on my notification, and it tells me where they are, what struggles they face, do they even have a Bible in their language, and specific prayer requests for them. So that would be where I would start, but I even challenge you right now, like, go to your local church and figure out what the next short-term mission trip is, and I join that. That's for me personally, that's where I found God's calling for my life, was on a short-term team. That's where I met my wife. That's where I ended up meeting some of my coworkers. A lot of life changes happened for me on short-term teams, because I think that is where we are living life to the fullest, is on mission with God. So each person, I think, has their own next steps that God's calling to them, but I think those are some really, really good practical ones that apply to everybody.
Well, thanks, Austin, so much. This is going to be, I think, really helpful for Christians who want to be a part of God's story and are looking for a next step to really be engaged, to be active and do something to partner with God. So thanks for all these really helpful hints.
Yeah, man, I love it. Thanks for having me here again.
Well, it was great to have you on our podcast today. Glad you followed along with that discussion. We just want you to know that if you want to read more about what's happening in the global church with missions, that we periodically write blogs on our website. And it's a great opportunity to hear about things that we're experiencing as we travel around the world and talk to Christian leaders who are leading denominations, who are missions directors from various countries around the world, talking about their perspective about the missions from their country. And a lot of times we'll write articles and report on these kinds of stories as a Storyline mission team, and we'll post them on our blog. So if you ever want to go to our website, storylinemissions.org, that's storylinemissions with an S.org, you can go to our blog and find out more about what's going on around the world with mobilizing the global church. Thanks again for joining us on this podcast.